Welcome to My Secrets to Stamina. I'm Cindy Novotny, and they've deemed me the Radical Mentor. For any new listeners, welcome. I'm so excited to have you. So for the past few years, I've been talking about what my secrets are to living with no balance and loving it and having the stamina to do it all. I'm truly thrilled to have this platform to share ways to help you and find your unique balance, not the balance that others think you should have. This podcast provides takeaways, tips, advice from myself, along with many guests on how to live the life you want to live. I'm here to help you live your life without the standard definition of balance and to have the stamina to do it all. So today, it's time for Cindy to go solo. So I'm bringing you an episode full of all things leadership, because this is something that I see lacking so much these days. I want to talk about the full scope of successful leadership practices, but also leaders that I've been fortunate enough to have in my life that really left their mark on who I am as a leader today. This episode may prompt you as a leader to look at yourself in the mirror and see how you can improve. So for our future leaders, this episode will be gold for you. So let's jump right in. Many people have given me feedback on, you know, talk to us about leadership. Talk to me about how I can be better. So I picked this topic simply because I do think leadership is lacking everywhere. And it's so important to take a look at how to be a strong, effective mentor, leader, guidance counselor, coach. All of these things are critical. You know, I often talk about free range parenting, and that's where, you know, parents let their kids just run all over the bloody place and they don't really know what's going on. Well, there's also free range leadership, meaning that the leader just lets his or her people do what they do. And until there's some dramatic issue, they then sit down and review it. And I find that to be so just devastating because I know some very strong, intelligent, very successful people that work for some of the biggest jerks in the world. And I'm sincere. They're like jerks. They pay no attention to them. And then all of a sudden, everything's on fire. And all of a sudden, there's drama everywhere. And what does that do, number one, to the organization? But what does it really do to your employee? It takes them down. It burns them out. It gets them frustrated. Now, with that said, I'm not perfect either. So I do think I communicate. I over-communicate. I do think I give a foundation of trust and integrity, and I try to have rapport with all the people on my team. But there are times I go from zero to 100. And there are times I, too, have to apologize. I'm sorry I said that, or I'm sorry I went off like that. But, you know, I at least admit it. And this is the biggest problem. Too many leaders out there just think they can do no wrong, just think that they get away with being however they want to be. And that is a big mistake. And so in this episode, I want you to think about yourself, even if you only lead one person. And by the way, if you don't lead anybody, you're a future leader. And by the way, you're a role model. People are looking up to you. So I want you to think about a couple things. If someone talk to your employees away from you, just on a park bench one day, they're out just enjoying the sunshine. And somebody said, so tell me, you work for so-and-so. Do you like them? Tell me how they're affected. Tell me if they're good. What would they say? You should know what they'd say. Would they say, oh my gosh, this person's great, tough, but great. I've learned so much. Or would they say, you know, I don't spend a lot of time with them. They really don't affect me much at all. You know, you have a role and responsibility as a leader to make sure people are better tomorrow than today because of your leadership. And if you can't say that, then you need to seriously sit down and have a chat with somebody. And by all means, call me. I'd love to talk to you and give you real feedback. I think that's the other problem. The higher you get, the less feedback you get. Everybody brown noses, everybody tells you what they want to hear, and that doesn't do any of us any good. So people always throw training to the side, whether it's time, money, bigger initiatives. And this is a perfect example, especially since COVID and that whole mess, young leaders are being put into positions that have zero idea of leadership. Zero. And I think about that and I think, how did you actually ever get in your business to begin with? And the answer is this. Well, all of a sudden my boss got laid off. All of a sudden there's nobody to take the job and they just promoted me. Okay. Did you have any training? No. Do you have any leadership experience? No. So you're now the director of something. You're now the VP of something and you're in charge of people every day. You're in charge of making things better for the company and for the team that works for you. So here's some leadership tips that you need to look at. Number one, you need to know the behavioral style of everyone on your team. You need to treat people the way they want to be treated. So I'm very expressive. I'm very much a driver. I'm bottom line, cut to the chase. Just let's get on with it. But I have people on my team that are very amiable and very analytical. And they need a why behind everything. They need me to slow down. They need me to say good morning. They need me to take my time. And I have to change my style for that person. So step one, figure out who your people are and treat them the way they want to be treated. Step two is, do they really know the competencies, the skills, the attitude and knowledge that is needed to do their job as a master in that job? Do they really, really know what's expected of them? Are their goals laid out? Do you review it with them every single week in what I call KRAs, which are one-on-ones, key result areas, where I focus on the prospects they have, what their numbers are, what they've got in the funnel, how they're going to close this business, areas of problems or opportunities, things that are causing them some grief. Do you do one-on-ones? And if you don't, why not? Oh, not enough time? Too busy in all kinds of meetings? The answer lies with you and your ability to manage your time so that you can take care of the people that report to you. The other is feedback. So how do you develop somebody if you don't know how to do their job? All right, so let's think about it. You might have got promoted into a position that there's people that work for you that you've never really done that job. All right, so I'll take a restaurant. So I'm partners in a restaurant, as some of you know. And although I worked in restaurants and I was an incredible server and bartender and worked hostess, great, did that. I never worked in the kitchen, ever. And I have no skill for that, actually, at all. So how do I give a chef feedback if I actually can't cook that dish? If I actually don't have the skills, the attitude, and knowledge to do what the chef is doing? Well, then I have someone come in that has that ability to do that. So a specialty coach. So for us, we bring in, you know, visiting chefs that can come in and they can work with our kitchen and our culinary team and give them feedback and look at what they're doing and look at menu engineering, things that I actually can't do. And by doing that, I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm trying to provide my team with subject matter experts in areas that I'm not good in. Now, the other thing is, when you are good in some of these areas, you can't just say my way or the highway, because today's business environment is different than the business environment of even 5 years ago. So you have to be able to be involved, know what's going on, give direction in the moment, give coaching in the moment, and make a difference. Let them see you do the job and let them watch you do the job. You know, I've had several leaders in my past that have made a mark in my life. I've had people that have taught me, people that helped me go the right way. And many of those leaders taught me in different ways. So Carol Vail, for instance, I worked for her at Disneyland Hotel. And although I'd worked in hotels, I'd never prospected as hard as I had to prospect for that hotel. I was given the DC market, huge National Association market, didn't know much about that market at all. And this is how she taught me. And at the time, I didn't enjoy 1 minute of it, but I know it was the best thing. She would bring me into her big office. I will never forget the big desk and being intimidated. And we had files, you know, this is way before everything was in Salesforce and all that. And I would sit at her desk on one side of her desk. We had the big phone. Speakerphone, and she would take one of the files and she'd say, okay, I'm going to make the first prospecting call and you listen and take notes. she'd make the call. If she didn't get through to somebody, she would keep taking the files until she connected, till she got through to a potential customer. And she would make the prospecting call. Then she'd say, your turn. And I would start. And until I connected with someone, I kept going through all of those till I got to a prospective client. I would make the prospecting call. And she would then give me feedback afterwards. What was good? What wasn't good? We did that every single day for 1 month. 1 hour a day she dedicated to making these calls with me. 1 hour a day, 5 days a week for a month. Now, talk about a stomach ache. Talk about having a lump in my throat all the time. Talk about the pressure. But I'm telling you, I am a serious prospector today because of Carol Vail and how she pushed me. Now, another person that did a similar thing with me was Mr. Robert M. Fredericks. He was one of my first bosses at Second City. He owned the Chateau Louise, and he also had the franchise for Second City at the Chateau Louise. I was running the box office, and he had an apartment there. He worked downtown, and I was in the suburbs. He would get in about 8, 9 o'clock at night every night, and he would come in to the box office. And I was doing all the sales for all the bus tours and, you know, everything that was group business coming into the theater. The theater would already be going on. Now it's like 8 or 9 at night, but I'm staying in the box office, answering phones, booking tickets. He would literally grab the phone and he would take calls. And this is a multimillionaire at that time, had more going for him than you can imagine. And he dedicated time sitting in that box office, grabbing that phone and saying, watch me, dear. He always called me dear. You know, my dad was also an incredible leader for me because my dad was the consummate salesperson. So I would go home every night when I lived at home and I would give my dad all the stories of things that I'd learned, trouble that I'd had, and he'd role play with me. And he would talk about how many times you have to go out and it takes sometimes 100 times before you ever get to a good client. You know, it was training. It was training on the job that allowed me to learn. And those two particular leaders and my dad gave me a foundation that was priceless, priceless. So what are you doing to do the actual job with your employees side by side? Now, I'm a leader today. So what does being a strong and successful leader look like to me? Well, I'm doing the same thing. I'm on the road 100% of the time, side by side with every one of my trainers. Some of them that are new are learning with me right on the job. Some of my senior trainers that have been with me a very long time, they are also learning new ideas and new tricks and new ways to do things. Because I, as the leader and the owner of the company, force myself to get out of my comfort zone. I am a ferocious reader. I am paying attention to the trends and what's going on and what's happening in the industry, whether it's hotels or real estate or automotive or medical, all the different businesses that we are in. And I am constantly studying and then I'm constantly teaching. Now, some of that teaching is not fun for my team because I put them on the spot. I'm sitting in the back. I'm watching them. I'm giving them feedback at the first opportunity when we either go on a break or people go to lunch. And it's tough for some people. Some people on my team, even though they know that feedback is the breakfast of champions and the only way you will get better is to get feedback, sometimes it's tough and it causes them like kind of anxiety. And I see it and I'm like, I have to work through this because I know that I pushed them to the limit. So I keep talking. I don't think you took this right. How can I help? All right. Give yourself like, go to lunch. Let's go to lunch. And when we get back from lunch, let's role play this again. See, being a strong leader doesn't mean you dictate. Doesn't mean I stand back and just orchestrate. It means I roll up my sleeves and I get into it side by side with them. The same thing applies to our sales team. You know, we have incredible prospectors on our team. You know, Jessica Baker, my daughter, who is phenomenal at prospecting. I use her as an example all the time. We know it takes 7 to 8 times to touch a prospect before they become a customer. Well, she literally keeps track of it. And just recently on our lineup, she said, 14 times I touched this prospect and they became a customer. And she and I and Lefty work on new tactics and new strategies when we do our one-on-ones and constantly helping each other on what's the best way to get to that customer. What's the best way to win new business? What are some of the topics that we need to look at as we look at new training going forward? That is how I'm a strong leader. I don't just throw out there, guys, come up with this and make sure it's good and I'll talk to you next month. No, you have to stay on top of everything. You have to work side by side. If you're just a figurehead, if you just use your power to throw people to the curb, you're not a leader. No, you're a boss. And there's way difference between a boss and a leader. A leader inspires people to want to go to a place maybe they don't think they can get to. A leader helps catch you when you fall. A leader helps you get stronger after every single barrier you hit. You know, in sales, as an example, when we lose an account, it's traumatic. You can't even believe it. They chose someone else. Are you kidding me? And as leaders, we have to also remind ourselves that that's okay. Pick yourself up from the bootstraps, learn from what you did, learn from the loss, and get on the phone and get back to business. Because sometimes that can spin a salesperson out of control. It can take them hours and even a whole day to get over it before they come out of that negative head spin. So I want to talk about a few other leaders. So I talked about Carol and I talked about Mr. Fredericks, which I always called him Mr. Fredericks. But Dave Evans was an incredible leader. He was strong. He was smart. He pushed me every single day. I became a young director of sales and marketing with Weston. And he was that kind of leader that always reminded me that I'm always in sales. Everything I do, even any marketing pitches, anything we do, the marketing plan, it is all about selling. And he was ferocious about this. He kept us going, pushing us, challenging us, and really getting us to a point that you just realized every day, I sell. That's all I do. I sell. Because without sales, there is nothing else. So you can be this incredible marketer and you can do all this campaigns and advertising and all these websites. But if it doesn't fill a hotel, what good is it? And then there's Creighton Casper, who became my regional VP for a few years at Weston, who then came to work with us at Master Connection Associates. He was also an incredible leader, but he led differently. He would literally look at me before any meeting and say, don't F this up, Cindy. Don't F this up. And I'd say to him, like, wow, I mean, you're my boss. You're supposed to make sure I don't. No, you've got this. But he was a first-class leader. He prepared me for even starting this company. He prepared me for big meetings where I was so nervous, flying up to Seattle for big owner meetings and big, you know, executive meetings that I'd rather be hit by a taxi than walk into that conference room. But he prepared me and he gave me the confidence to speak properly, to know what I'm doing, to be stronger. And that led into how I even started this company, giving me that ability. And to this day, he is still a part of our life, still a part of what we do, and was a consultant on our team for many, many years, still working with us as a consultant. And then there was Bert Cabanas. So when I moved to Houston, Texas, my husband got transferred and I didn't know what I was going to do. I was leaving Chicago, leaving Mr. Fredericks, the Gaslight Clubs, leaving what I knew, going down to a place that I'd never been in my life. And no one was hiring. It was the boom time of Houston. Everything was on crazy fire. Business was great. The oil business was great. And so my parents lived in Spring. So obviously I went closer to that area and went out to the Woodlands and the Woodlands Inn and Conference Center, who, you know, was phenomenal. And I wanted to work there. And Bert was the GM way before he started Benchmark. And I remember interviewing with the director of sales and marketing and with Bert. And I remember there was no job. And I said to Bert, I said, so here's the deal. I'll work for straight commission if you'll just give me a shot. Now, nobody at that time worked for straight commission. And Bert looked at me and said, I don't know how that's going to work. I said, well, just all I need is a desk and business cards. And you tell me where you want the business. And he said, okay, all right. I like it. You got guts. He said, so we need business on the weekend. We're a corporate conference center. We fill up Sunday night check-in and Friday night check-out. So we need Friday night check-in and Sunday check-out. Now, again, back in a time when resorts were not that great, people weren't going to resorts for the weekend like they do now. That was a big task. And I had to work on things like Kenny Rogers' Arabian Horse Auction and the Houston Open and do things I never knew how to do. And yet I proved it. And he was the one that every day continued to talk to me. And within months, I was full-time hired, proved myself, and I was doing that job. And he was a consummate entrepreneur. He was the kind of guy that was always going to say that in every single day that you come into work, you have to sell something and make the toughest calls by noon. And he taught me that. And that's how I lead today. I make the toughest calls by noon. So I've had so many great leaders in my life that left a mark, and many more that I haven't even mentioned. Now, I've worked for some terrible leaders. I'm not going to mention their names, but some terrible leaders that really I didn't like. They were mean. They weren't helpful. They threw you under the bus. They were never there to support you. And I learned from them as well. Because when you think about it, even the bad ones taught me something. So I think that my advice and my takeaway for any of you in a leadership position today is first be humble. See, whatever got you here today is not taking you into the future. And you're only as good as the team around you. If they're not great, then who do you blame? Them? You have to blame yourself. Let's say you inherit a team and that's not a great team. And you're being brought in new and you got a bunch of people that aren't that great. Well, this is how you go back to zero. Every time the rules change, we go back to zero. So you set the whole team down and you go, you know what? We're starting over. Let's take a look at each of us individually, test them on their skills, their knowledge, make sure they've got the right attitudes, make sure you know their styles, sit down with them one-on-one, explain how you're going to start leading this team in a different way than they've been led before, that we have goals and we have targets and we're going to make those goals and you're going to be with them to help them along the way. See, a leader has a responsibility to make a difference. That's it. And if your difference doesn't make people better tomorrow than they are today, then you're not doing your job. Your job is to create results and ROI for the company. And you cannot do that alone. You need people around you that need your support and guidance to get to that ROI. Great leaders don't just keep working on themselves. Great leaders work on everybody else. And that's my message today. Go out and do a better job than you've ever done in your life by making people better than maybe you ever were. So don't miss my next episode as I bring you another amazing guest. It'll inspire you and they'll share your secrets to stamina. So stay tuned, my friends.